You are listening to TASBOcast, the official podcast for the Texas Association of School Business Officials. We are the trusted resource for school finance and operations. Hi, this is Rose Brandon from TASBO, and I'm thrilled to be co-hosting today's podcast with Becky Falk, our Director of Member Experience. Today, our guest is Frankie Jackson. She is an independent K-12 Chief Technology Officer who has been part of the TASBO family for more than 25 years. She previously served on our Board of Directors and was President in 2012. Frankie received the TASBO Commitment to Excellence Award in 2016, which she says was the ultimate highlight of her career. She's highly involved in the Information Technology Committee, as well as the mentoring program. Truly, I could go on and on, but I do want Frankie to get a word in today. So let me kick it off to you. Welcome, Frankie. We're so thrilled to have you. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey here at TASBO?
I sure can. I think the unique thing about my career and how I started was, you know, back in the late 70s, and that was a unique time period because that was the time that Bill Gates entered into the market. Bill Gates and I are about the same age. We're the same generation. So we entered the marketplace at the same time. Now, I'm not Bill Gates, but I followed his career, and our career paths, I think, followed one another's just in the advancement of following technology from the very beginning to where we are today. So I immediately, upon graduating from high school, entered into what they called at that time a data processing degree plan. Started working immediately, worked my way through college as what they called at that time a key punch operator. So there really wasn't even monitors with keyboards. It was a different type of a system. And I know that sounds archaic, but that's how far back my career goes with technology. And that's why I love it so much. Finished with a computer information systems degree from the University of Houston at Clear Lake. And that was in 1984. And that was at the time that the space industry was just booming. Companies looking for females to join in the computer technology field. It was an amazing opportunity. And then spent 10 years in the NASA environment and went from the very bottom to the very top. During that time period, the Challenger accident occurred. So that was in 1986. And so they stopped all the shuttle programs and kind of just started over. Why that's important is that I had the fabulous opportunity of moving into this key role as a program manager over safety, reliability, and quality assurance of the shuttle program. And then they brought in the Malcolm Baldrige model for quality and was trained as an examiner. In the meantime, I had three daughters. traveled and just really felt like I needed a greater balance. So my mother-in-law said, you know, you've got these three girls, they're going into school. We may want to think about, have you ever thought about joining a school district? And I went, NASA to school district? I was like, okay, but you know, I've got it. I had to do something. So I made the transition in 1994 and joined a school district, Goose Creek, a consolidated independent school district of about 25,000 students. In my mind, I thought, well, I'll join the school district, wait till all the kids get in junior high, girls, all three girls, and then I'll go back to my beautiful career down there at NASA. You know, it was like 30 minutes away. I'm from the Houston area. And I joined in November, and my hiring leader that hired me was Alan King. He was also served on the board years ago. He also followed Jerry Roy to Louisville. He was also an interim superintendent at Dallas ISD. Became a real mentor of mine, and probably maybe the first month that I was at Goose Creek, he said, would you want to join the TASBO organization? And I said, sure. You know, I'm all about, you know, making contacts, and I could look around and see there wasn't anybody like me at Goose Creek because I was the technology leader. and went to the TASBO conference in 1995 and never missed a conference all of those years.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, you've been to every single
one. Never missed a conference and basically fell in love with not only the association, but the contacts and the friends that I made. The very first class that I took was a finance class. And it was Tom Canby, believe it or not, that was the instructor. And he was working at TEA at the time. And I met Charles Woods, who is now the assistant superintendent. That's the thing, we've all grown up and have all these big leadership jobs now. But I sat down beside him and it was a full class. And we became friends at that time and continued to stay friends. And to this day, I could probably text him and he would get back with me immediately. So all of the technology staff members, those that were in technology and also in some of the other areas of specialties became some of my closest friends. And then certainly decided that the board needed technology representation. And that is when I ran for the board. And the first time that I ran, I didn't get on the board. I missed it by a narrow margin. You probably didn't even know that. Had to rerun again, which I'm not much for, I'm kind of a sore loser. And but I did run again because that's how important it was to me. And then served those 7 years on the board. And then again, you mentioned was president. And so it was probably, like I said, it was a real highlight of my career serving on the board. And then branched off and also started working with the Texas K-12 CTO Council, which is specifically for CTOs. We can meet as technologists, as leaders all day long, but if we don't have the support of the superintendent, of the chief financial officers, the business operations, if they don't understand the work that we're doing, then we're working in a silo and in isolation. And it just seems only natural that the two are connected, and finding better ways to partner and get things done was everything that I wanted to bring to this field of technology. And so that's what I promote with all of those that I work with. So that's a long story, but I enjoy telling it because it's extremely meaningful and impactful for me personally.
Oh my goodness. It's so jam-packed full of so many cool things to touch on. First off, I feel like offline I'm going to have to come back about the Challenger explosion and have a conversation. That sounds so interesting that you went into leadership at that time during that. But it sounds like throughout you getting into this field and growing through the last 30 years, just even in school business, it's just you've learned to adapt in so many different things. You came into technology at a time when it was changing so rapidly. You grew and expanded as the technology did. So your background, your history is just incredible, and how your leadership is supported by that foundation. And it's just, you have thrived wherever you've gone. It's incredible, your journey.
Thank you.
We absolutely loved it. And as a mom of three kiddos, I personally
yeah.
I'm mad because I'm definitely not working at NASA. So
yeah.
I can't imagine those challenges, but I also truly respect the shift and the motion and the necessary. And that happens a lot with women in leadership positions. And, you know, that's definitely could be a whole nother podcast.
Definitely another podcast, but it does speak to women in leadership, like I said. But this is the other thing, is that I always use this line in a lot of the presentations that I gave, is that if you think stepping down into K-12 to support education is a lesser position, it's not, because flying shuttles is a lot easier than transporting students to school, feeding them, making sure that they're safe, and taking responsibility for their learning. There's nothing that's comparable to that, not even flying the shuttles or living in the space. So I use that a lot, and it really is true. It really does hit home with a lot of people. That's much more complicated.
Really, when you're making the difference in the life of a child, you're making a difference in their parents and ultimately the community. And, your outreach and what you, the difference you can make is, that's incredible. I love that. let's talk a little bit about your involvement here at TASBO and the things that you've done. I know that you are obviously huge into the mentoring program as well as the Information Technology Committee, but let's talk a little bit more about that and why you like being a part of the mentoring program.
And so my involvement has always been a huge priority in my career to make time for TASBO and developing courses and working with other staff members to develop their facilitation skills so that it becomes more than just, you know, a small group of presenters, but to hopefully grow that. And then the mentorship, I'm deeply committed to helping those in technology positions thrive as leaders. One of the things, you know, there's a time and a place to promote from within and also to promote from the outside. I've always been a big proponent of providing a succession plan, a way for those to grow in the mentorship program, because I don't think it bodes well for our organization in K-12 to have to go hire from the outside, hire from the banking industry, hire from, you know, oil and gas, and bring them in and put them into K-12, because there's just so much more to the job than the specialty of the specific task at hand. It's all of the other components of school, business, and operations that really, I think, are what make us successful. So I'm a huge proponent of mentoring.
I want to brag on you real quick. You are such a good mentor, because the basis of who you are is to want to help others. And it's a small but mighty group. You know, we're not going to be the largest mentoring program, but Frankie really has developed relationships with those protégés that come into the program. And that's very different. The way that the TASBO mentoring program is set up, it's not a traditional one-to-one program. So we really use a group of mentors to a group of protégés. And Frankie is kind of a star mentor in that you take ownership of that more than any of my other groups, because you invest in them. And you want to see them succeed. And your past groups have done just that. And you've maintained those relationships. And I could brag on you all day about that. But it's a very unique thing for someone to want to grow leaders like that and be deeply committed. So for those listening, if you know, I'll push that right now. If you know someone in the IT department that is newer to that, the changing landscape that we're about to go into, y'all need support now more than ever. If you know someone in that department, or you don't know someone in that department, but you want to pass that information along to maybe a supervisor or somebody, pass it along. You need that group.
Technology is a unique field, but if you want to really sell your ideas and push, it doesn't matter if it's promotions or funding request or board presentations, you're not going to do it alone if you're a technologist. You've got to engage the other units, like the business department. They are the funding source. So if you want funding, then you know, you have to figure out a way to sell your ideas and to show the value. And, you know, back to the mentors, it's really all about the building of the relationships. And I think good relationships make good friends wherever you go. If you allow yourself to lean into it and to get to know people and understand their struggles and they understand yours.
Absolutely. It's all about, you know, getting vulnerable with the process mm-hmm. and investing in it fully.
Also says a lot for, you know, the mentoring program, and it continues to grow year after year. And it's an area that TASBO is so proud of, and to be able to link someone with your tutelage with, you know, individuals who are just up and coming in school business is just a huge opportunity. What advice would you have to those who are just starting out in school business?
You know, it's not an easy job. You can't even compare it to any other type of business. It doesn't matter if you're in technology, if you're in the business operation, serving as, you know, in the finance department. The job is stressful. On the positive side, there's nothing like going to a school and hearing kids playing and walking through the halls and smiles and chattering and seeing learning as you walk down the hall. And so the rewards are far greater than I ever expected that it would be.
You know, we do a couple of these member spotlights, and it always, this question brings the same thing. And y'all, I don't think y'all are stealing from each other in the answers. I think it is truly, you all know how hard the job is. Y'all wake up every day with the same burdens of the day before, and you do it for exactly the same reason. As you walk down the hallway and you see the kids and you hear them, and you are responsible for their success. That is why y'all get up in the morning.
That's exactly right.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing that we support you guys. TASBO means a lot to Rose and I. And we just want to be helpful and support you because you support the schools and you support the kids and everything.
You know, I remember the first conference that I went to for TASBO, and I thought this is the place that I want to be. I mean, every conference year after year just delivered excellence in their strategic planning and their movement and the way that they changed with the times, especially with technology. It's just been fabulous to see over a long period of time.
I love that you come with that historical knowledge to speak on where TASBO has been and where TASBO is now. And we listen constantly and we reach out and we utilize the experts in the field, just like yourself, to continue to grow. And I think that's what's established TASBO as such a strong leader for over 75 years. Yeah. You know, that's, we have proven ourselves to really be there for you guys and give you what you need.
TASBO does a really good job at communicating, especially with their members. But I think that the progress that's made inside the board and the amount of care and attention that's, you know, taken to make sure that member concerns are addressed and that we're on the right path and we're strategically looking forward to meet not only the needs of today, but for the future.
Correct. Definitely thinking 5 years out, 10 years out, what do we want to be? How can we get there? What do we need to do now to make up for those goals in the future?
I love these podcasts when they just sort of keep naturally flowing to what next we had that I wanted to ask you about. But what is your hope for the future of technology in K-12 schools?
The vision for the future is to find a better way to ensure data privacy, secure identities of staff members, of students, give the funding that's needed to secure schools from a cybersecurity perspective. But, you know, idea that, you know, technology is not something that's separate, it's ubiquitous, it's integrated in everything that we do. And the pandemic, I think, has certainly helped get us there a lot quicker than we ever thought.
I can imagine that coming off of a pandemic year, and gosh, we're still in it, I'm sure that brought your department to the table a lot more than maybe in years past. Is that, would that be the case?
I know that to be the case. That is the case. I think the 24-hour operation is more real than it ever has been. 5 years ago, even not everybody was taking home a Word device. You know, they really were.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like a big phone. And you know, you take a tablet home, it's the way you get things done. And being able to log on safely and securely 100% of the time, no matter where you are, is really just kind of an expectation.
If someone were to start in IT and they, in a school district, and they kind of had some base level knowledge of just technology in general, what would a career path look for that person? Just generally speaking, I know each district, whether it's small or large, and you might take on different things, but what could that look like? Or someone switching departments, is that a natural thing? I could see maybe in the safety, security, risk management group that I could see some of those people naturally being brought over with, especially cybersecurity right now. But
you know, I think there's a lot of skills that are needed, but I think the field of technology is vast in that, you know, there's a lot of different paths. So, for example, from a TASBO perspective, a natural path would be to come up through business applications, student information systems, but there's also this chunk of service related to network management and device imaging and connectivity, even customer care, purchasing for technology. I love how TASBO is arranged because, you know, there's the PIMS, there's records management, there's transportation. They really align with all of the functions. So you can really look at the 13 committees and kind of dice them up and say, technology is going to support every one of these. And really, that's what ITC does. But then there's ITM, which is the management piece of it. You know, if there's one skill that I think is incredibly underrated, is the ability to know where to go get the information. And that's what TASBO is so, why it's so valuable, because you can't be an expert at everything. There's research that says, you know, where are these CTOs coming from? They're coming from the administrative side, or they're coming from the instructional side. If you come up through, it's about 50-50. If you come up through the instructional side, then your frame of support, your reference is going to be educators. It's going to be CNI. It's going to be teachers, principals. If you come up on the other side of the technology service side, they're primarily programmers, more technical in nature. So they come up in from different paths. But if you've got that two things, if you've got that one skill to know how to network, find who your peer groups are, make friends with those people, feel comfortable. That's what you do when you reach out to people that you meet at the conference, or you meet in classes, or in specific committee meetings. You say, hey, can you pass me the information that you did on the leasing comparison to purchasing? And it just saves so much time. The other is, you know, you really do have to be a good communicator, because technology is that type of a field where it's complex. You've got to know how to speak with superintendents, board of education. And so having good, not only written skills, oral skills, but persuasion skills, negotiating skills.
Yeah, I ask that because I imagine there's a lot of the people that are listening, and we have so many kinds of members. We have so many that might be starting out in the profession, those that are mid-level management, those that are higher. It's such a broad range that I wonder if people ever question that. How could I ever transition into a different department? It sounds like you could jump into that at any time and grow those skills, I would imagine, if you possessed the base level, you know, staying cool under pressure and maybe some ability to actually like tech.
One benefit is you're networking, you're making contacts, but you're growing, you're making yourself better, and you're demonstrating that you're willing to do that with those that you work with.
You can't teach that in someone. If somebody is not a natural learner, if they're not someone that's willing to grow, you can't teach that. So you look for those people that are interested in developing themselves. And that's when a mentor like yourself would recognize that in the individual and grow that in them.
Sometimes it takes just a TASBO member to take somebody that's fairly introverted and say, you know, I'd really like for you to go to this conference this year.
Yes.
And I want you to go to your research, your field of interest, whether it be transportation, technology. And I guarantee if they went one time, they would be hooked. They would go back again and they would become more involved.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes it just takes that little extra added level of push to go.
Rose and I actually talked about this recently. It's a new wave of people too that are not naturally going to put themselves out there. And I have talked to Rose about, I'm that person. I love to be asked to do something. And sometimes I fail to put myself out there, but if you ask me to do it, I will commit. And there are those wave of people that are just like that. And whether they're introverted or extroverted, doesn't matter, but if you tap on someone, right, that's all it takes is one time, and it's like a seed that's sprouting.
Right.
And there's such benefit and value there that I think people forget. Just tap on them once and just watch what happens.
Right.
Because exactly, then that just gets them in the door. So for everyone listening, I'm going to again put it out there. If you are just curious, if you're interested, or if you know someone that is great at their job and they're not, maybe they're wanting something more, we can help grow that individual. We know about it. And we try to tap on the resources that are existing. You know, every year that goes by, that means that's one more year that that person has underneath their belt to be another source for those coming in. So if you know someone out there that is a topic expert in your district, tell them about TASBO. Let them get involved. Make sure that they're, you know, enriched in their job. I bet you they're going to be a better employee if they're also participating in TASBO. I can almost guarantee it. That's in our own organizations that Rose and I are in. That's the same thing. You become a better employee yourself if you're giving to another organization. It grows so many different skills.
I think that's a great way to sort of wrap up on such a high note. Becky, do you have any other questions or any other?
No, I've just been chatting away. I hope that Frankie was glad that she came on this and I didn't just talk her ear off. I could probably talk to Frankie all day. I'm sure that other people will want to reach out to Frankie as well. Such a resource. You can find her also, for anyone curious, you can always search the members on Connect. That's where we house our member directory and her contact information is there. She's a wealth of information and always helpful.
Thank you, Becky. Appreciate that. Thank you, Rose.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you have an incredibly busy schedule and we're so thrilled that you were able to take some time out today to chat with us and you know, talk about an area of TASBO that isn't always highlighted. And I loved this. I loved getting, you know, to learn more about you and learn more about your area and how it all connects in TASBO, because we are a very vast organization. But when you have all the moving parts into the same room, the opportunities are endless. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a good day.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.